Hey, hey, this is Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreats. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, day 5. Guys, we are back. Some people say that if you take a break, then you're going to lose everyone. But actually, I believe that resting is going to help you retain everything that we've learned, and it's going to help you be open to learning more. Okay. So even though, when I was building the program, I was designing it the way I did the calm method, then 2 days of vacation, quote unquote, but really it's time to integrate, time to relax, time to rest. It's also over Shabbos, which is the perfect time for rest, right? And rest is part of creation. So it is very, very necessary. And then we go into, you know, the hot topics, the things that we want to be able to really, you know, integrate into our lives. So this is all intentional. And I'm really grateful that you're here. And I'm proud of you that you're here, because this is what it's all about. Okay. And for anybody who just came in and suddenly, like, you know, hopped on and isn't sure about the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, make sure you go back and listen to the recordings. And here we go. The first thing I want to hear from you guys is, how long are you married? Okay, 11 years and 3 weeks. Woo, congratulations. I love it. What else? We have 30 years. Wow, good job. Close to 8 years. Nice. And 14 years. Great. Okay. I am married 17 and a half years, almost 18 years. Wow. Hey, cool. Look at that. Sometimes you like actually pause and think about it. 10 years. Awesome. 10 years, 14 years. Yes. Okay, cool. Okay. So today we're going to be addressing a couple of things. Okay. You may be thinking how to bring back the fireworks, right? All that excitement, the butterflies in your stomach, the actual connection, like, where did all that go and how do I bring it back? There, we're going to address why I'm sometimes not in the mood, or I'm most of the time not in the mood. What's going on with the mood, right? And what do I do about my husband not being in the mood? We are going to talk about how to make this feel amazing, because it's meant to feel good. And the most important part, which I see as really, really the reason why I'm doing this, is why is this part of my life lagging behind, right? So if I am a successful person, or if I am doing big things and I am going out there doing the things that matter to me, why is this behind? Why am I not fully, you know, holistically feeling amazing about every part of my life? Okay, so we're going to address that, especially because of what we're talking about. The different parts of the session today, we're going to first do a meditation. Then we're going to talk about mindset, and we're also going to get super practical. Okay, so towards the end, we actually get practical. I pray that, you know, it goes all smoothly, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have time also for the Q&A. Right? Questions and answers. But even if we don't, you can always schedule an implementation call with me. If you're listening on the podcast, or if you're listening to the replay, go back to the email and you'll find it there. Schedule a call with me. This is only available during the time of the retreat. Okay. So after the retreat, if you don't have it, you could get in touch with us and see if it's available. But, you know, it's something that I do special for you guys for showing up. So let's start with the meditation. Take a deep breath. I want you to focus on the release. Try that again and really release your shoulders, release your forehead. When we say relax, right? It's not relax, take a deep breath. It's actually relax and release, right? The release is what lets your body relax. When you take a deep breath, you bring your shoulders up, you tighten up, you try really hard. But when you release, oh, everything just goes and you're able to feel safe. See if you can release a little bit. Allow yourself to go and let go of the outside world and come back to yourself. Leave everything to the side. Put all the thoughts on hold. And imagine your husband is magically perfect. He loves you so much. He wants to do anything to make you happy. And he's all in. He wants the best for you. He'll do whatever it takes to delight you. He's fully here for you. I want you to visualize that. See the excitement on his face. See his smile. Look into his eyes. See how much he wants you to know that he's there for you. And think really deep into, what do I want? That was step one. What do I really want? What would feel good to me? Allowing whatever comes up to be okay. You're welcome to visualize yourself telling him what you want, what would feel good. You can tell him what to do because he'll do anything. And it's all up to you to guide him. Take a moment . You're okay. Everything is safe. Try to hold on to that clarity before you open your eyes. What's something you really want? And what's something you really want from him? And when you're ready, you can take a deep breath. You can stretch. You can wiggle your toes and your fingers, flutter your eyes. And in page 5, there's a little bubble, a speech bubble that says, I really want, or I really want you to. I want you to write down right now, What came up for you? You can take another moment to jot it down. And I want you to also realize that there was resistance. If there was, that's totally perfectly okay. Maybe you feel undeserving. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe it's unattainable. Maybe thinking of him as perfect is impossible. Right? Your brain is going to come up with a lot of things, and that's okay. You can take a moment and write those things down too, because they're going to help you know where you are, and they're going to also be the way out. Okay, so hopefully you wrote down a couple of things. If you need to take another moment, feel free to do that. We're going to keep going because I want you to see where this is going. What lights you up? We started day one asking, what lights you up? What do you want? What makes you come alive? What feels fun for you? What would be really, really fun right now, right? That's what we started with. Day one was connect to yourself, and it was all about giving yourself permission to enjoy this life. And what better place than here? And this happens to be the hardest place for us because we just don't feel right. There's something about it that feels so uncomfortable. And this is the reason why it's so important to practice with the little things, right? I told you that I have a list of something like 43 or something things that fill me up, right? I can talk to a friend. I can get a facial. I could go swimming. I could do exercise. I could do yoga. I'm looking at my list just to like get ideas, stretch and crochet and do my nails and play with my kids and have a smoothie, right? Like I have a go-to list that I go to when I'm feeling down or when I'm feeling disconnected or when I want to feel more of something thriving. This is the list I go to. And it's why we start with day one, because when you can connect to yourself and when you know what really will make you feel good, then you can feel good. And the worst part is that we blame it on our husband because it's just an easier excuse. I don't have to do anything when it's his fault, right? It's like, it's his fault that I'm not enjoying it. Well, guess what? You get to decide otherwise. You get to be intentional. And it starts with knowing what you want. Okay. Now we're talking about marriage being the core of Jewish life, right? It just is. And intimacy is the core of marriage. And what is the core of intimacy? You, the wife, the woman, right? We know it. You're in the middle, you're the core, and your husband is like a little chicken going, trying to like circle around you, trying to please you, trying to make sure that you're happy, because all he wants is to make you happy. Now, we are inherently different, right? This is an intimacy class, so we're going to talk about the fact that we're just so different. Physically, we're different. Emotionally, we're different. With our needs, we're different, right? We react differently to life. We have different needs. why did God do it that way? Couldn't he just make this easy on us? Right? It's like, did he make a mistake? Obviously not, right? Because he's God. He knows better. So just becoming aware of the differences is going to help us. And then we're going to also know where we can take responsibility, where we can become intentional. So for example, he measures his success by how happy she is. It has nothing to do with how successful he is. It doesn't have to do with how much money he makes. It does not have to do with how much, you know, kavod or what honors he gets at work, or I don't know how important he is in the world. It comes down to how happy his wife is. He comes home and his wife says, "You're a loser. You're not enough. I can't stand it that you don't make more money, or you're just not providing, or I don't know, blah, blah, blah." He will not provide. He will not function. He will feel like a loser. He is a failure in his own eyes. And you can have the biggest losers with the most like cheerleader wife going, "I love you. You're the most successful person in the world," right? And they think they're everything. Like, does that make any sense? Well, obviously, it's because it really doesn't matter. The outside, all that illusions, it's all junk. It really, the way that men measure their own success is by their wives' happiness level. Now, here's the problem, because as different as we are, right? All he wants is for us to be happy. All we know to do is to hold ourselves back from feeling happy. Like, there's this discomfort about being truly happy. And I don't know, I've been trying to figure this out. Is this designed this way, or is it just cultural or social, or the way that we've been trained or whatever, socially conditioned to be so uncomfortable being happy? Why is it that when I'm around people, they're like, "You're too happy," you know? It's like, it's a bad thing. There's something wrong with being too happy, right? Or like knowing how to just fully enjoy. Why do we always have to find something to complain about? Why does something always have to be like, but there's a discomfort? And here's where we get to be intentional and be like, I am going to intentionally choose happiness, because when I'm happy, I'm happy. When I'm happy, they're happy. When I'm happy, he's happy. When I'm happy, God is happy. Right? And this is amazing. Now, another difference that we're going to talk about in the practical side is she needs to hear him express his love in order to get into feeling in the mood, right? Like, he needs to say like romantic things, and "I love you," and, you know, "Oh, you mean so much to me." And for him, it's the opposite. He needs to get into it, and then he feels love, and then he's able to express his love. So there's like a mismatch of needs here, because he needs to get out of his own nature in order to express the love, right? And she needs to understand that it's coming. It's like, there's this trust, like you're going to find it. You're going to get it. And there is this like interesting match. Okay. We're going to put this aside for now, but we will get back to it. Okay. So number one, we're talking about mindset now. Why are we going to start with mindset? Is because everything goes like this. And we spoke about this on day three. Your belief creates thoughts. Your thoughts create emotions. Your emotions create actions. If you want to change the way your reality is, if you want to change the way you react, if you want to change the way that you are doing, then you need to change the way you feel. It's very difficult to change the way you feel. You can't feel on purpose, right? It's like trying to force yourself to feel a certain way. So you have to go to the core of feelings. The feelings, the emotions start with the thoughts. When I think differently, I feel differently. And so you get to think on purpose. Okay, so we're going to start with our mindset. We're going to start with the way that we're thinking, the things that we're believing. So number one is, I am worthy of love. pleasure, happiness, and delight. And you can even just say that. And if resistance comes up, and by the way, there's the worthy work never ends, right? There's a person who's like, oh, I'm not worthy of making, you know, a little bit of money. And then they get over that and they're like making money. And then they're like, oh, I'm not worthy of that much money. And then they get over that. And then it's like, then you tell them, oh, you can make $1,000,000. They're like, oh no, I'm not worthy of that. Right. So it doesn't matter what level you're on. You're always feeling unworthy of the next level. And it just points you to the direction of where you're working towards. Okay. So it's all cool. Don't be hard on yourself. But just know you are worthy of love, of pleasure, of happiness, of delight. This is what God put you here to receive, right? God wants to give. We're here to take and to thank and to have that interaction. Okay, so number one is that's the basic belief. In order to get over it, the first hurdle is everybody is born worthy and you don't become unworthy. You just are. You are worthy of love. The next main thing that we need to get really into is I'm responsible for my own happiness. Oh, right? It's like, if I wait for other people to fill me up, then it will never work. You know, one time I was in Yael Trish's program. She has a really great program. I don't remember what it was called, but it was Jewish Money Matters. She has a great podcast. And she has a program that was like an intense program about money and worthiness and money and how God wants us to have money and how to deal with our money. It was really great. And one of the things that she said there is you can never get enough of something you don't need, right? If you go and you're really in the mood for, I don't know, ice cream, but you're like, no, instead of having ice cream, I'll have a cucumber because, you know, so like you can eat 1,000 cucumbers. It will not make you not want the ice cream, right? It's just, it's never going to fill you up. So same thing with happiness. If you don't be intentional and responsible for your own happiness, you are going to feel needy. You're going to become this empty, like bottomless pit that needs and needs and needs everyone else to make her happy. And you're never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. It's just going to feel like, right? It just gets sucked in and nothing works. Okay. So by you taking responsibility for your happiness, and getting in touch with step one of knowing what you want and what would make you happy, you are on your way to actually being happy. Ta-da! And in turn, once you're happy, guess who else is happy? Your husband, because all he wants is to make you happy. So I'm happy thanks to you, right? So this is something that is really going to help you move along. Now, the next belief that we really have to iron out is my husband wants to delight me. And a lot of people are walking around this world believing that their husband does not. My husband doesn't love me. My husband doesn't care about me. My husband couldn't care less about me and my, you know, pleasure, my delight. It's not true. Your husband in his core and the way that he was built and the way that he was designed by God is that he wants to delight you. He wants so badly to make you happy. So by you believing that, you know, the opposite, you're basically believing a lie and you're setting yourself up for looking for evidence of that lie. And you're setting yourself up for failure. If you change it in your mind, if you actually believe he wants to delight you, you are going to start seeing miracles. And then it's going to blow your mind how amazing things change and so quickly. Okay. So this is number three. And number four, was it three or number four. Receiving is the feminine giving and it's your superpower. Now, what do I mean by that? Receiving is the feminine giving. What we're walking around we've been learning a lot of Torah. We've been studying a lot. You know, some of us have been to religious schools from day one, and they keep telling us, give, 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 give. And giving is a wonderful thing. I just want to point you to the fact that all of our sages were men, right? And for men, giving is the important thing. That's their superpower. They are givers. So it makes sense that they're being trained to give more and more and to push themselves to be givers. But nobody is training us to receive. And as women, we are physically built to receive. And we're also emotionally and spiritually built to receive. And just like there's parallels between marriage, husband and wife, there's also parallels between Jews and God. God is the giver. Jews are supposed to receive. We're here to constantly receive all this goodness, right? So by believing, you know, we talked about God baggage on day two. If you believe God is out to get you or doesn't want to give it to you or is holding back, whatever, I don't know what, that's all nonsense. Because God is here to have a relationship with you. He wants you to receive. Can you imagine wanting to give tzedakah, wanting to give of your money to poor people, and there's no one to give to? It feels really frustrating. You're like, but I want to help someone, and there's no one to help, right? By receiving, you are allowing the giver to give. And God created this entire world so that he can give, because if not, he wouldn't have who to give to. If anybody here has ever nursed, you know, you want to nurse that baby more than the baby wants to drink, right? Like, you have a need to give more than the person who needs to receive from you. So by us learning to receive, we're not being selfish. We are being selfless. We are helping someone else fulfill his need of giving. So because your husband is so eager to give and delight you, and yes, maybe something along the lines disconnected, maybe there was like a some sort of warp thing happened between getting married and being all excited, and like, you know, what happened, where, how do we get here? Okay, it happens to everyone. It's part of the journey, but keep going. Okay, don't get stuck there. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next slides. Okay. Actually, I'm going to talk about it right now because it came up. I always see it as like, you know, you get married, you're all like, woohoo, and you get in your car and you start the journey. And it's like, oh, you were like in, you know, paradise when you first got married. Everything's amazing. And you start driving and like the colors of the trees start to change. And like, maybe it starts to be a little bushes. And like, now you're suddenly finding yourself in the desert and you're like looking around being like, well, how did we get here? And then you see all these cars parked on the desert. And you turn you open your windows. You're like, excuse me, why is everyone stopped? And they're like, oh, this is it. This is what marriage is all about. And they give you this big fake smile, like, get used to it. You should have known, right? What is that? Why are we doing that? And you're like, oh, what? What happened to all the green? What happened to all the flowers? What happened to all the colors and the sky and the beautiful air? And what's going on? Like, this is it. This is just it. Listen, when I got here, the parking lot was full. I was told to park my car. I'm trying to make the best out of it. And this is what it is. Okay. Now, here's the advice I'm going to give you that will save your life. Do not park the car. Keep going. Okay, that is the best advice anyone can ever tell you. Why? Because when you keep going, you're actually going to find that that's not the end of the road, that there is a lot more ahead of you, that sceneries are going to keep changing, and that you're going to find different and new adventures along the way. And guess what? You're going to be so proud of yourself that you never stopped. You're going to be so proud of yourselves that you created something that kept going. And then you're going to get to this place that has better and bigger fireworks. you're going to be like, we thought that was paradise. Oh my gosh. All those people should come here. They do not know what they're missing, because now our relationship is not superficial. We're not just two little people who just met and are so cute and think this is hysterical and are having so much fun playing house. We are two adults that went through a real journey and had to hit all those dips and had to feel all those bumps. And we made a connection. We created something that we did not have before. The love now is deeper, is more intense, and the fireworks are to the sky. Like, they are amazing. And if you're willing to go through and keep going and not stop, it's going to always, always, always be worthwhile. And one day you're going to thank me because never, ever, ever stop. Never believe those annoying people who say, this is it. This is what it is. It's all about a mediocre marriage. That is the thing that I stand against. I will not let you have a mediocre marriage. It's just not what God wants. It's not what you deserve. It's not what you're here to be doing, right? And people tell me, like, I can't do my own thing. I can't go out and like raise, you know, grow my business because I need to stay for my family. But then my family is losing out because I'm not myself. I'm not alive. I'm not happy. I'm holding myself back thinking I'm doing them a favor, but really I'm not. I'm doing everyone a disservice because the people I could be helping are not getting my help. And the people who I'm supposedly being with, I'm just resentful at, and I'm not fully there for them. Okay. So there's a lose-lose all around if you're not at your best. And I want you to become your best self. Okay. And that's what we're here. Now let's talk about men and women again, because this is getting more and more interesting as we go along. We are complicated. Unlike men, they just have one thing. You just turn it on. Women are like, not one button, not one factor, not one switch, not one spot. We are a complicated combination of sequence of events that have to happen in order for us to actually like, oh yeah, wake up. We are so complicated. And we're meant to be complicated, and we're made to be complicated. You know why? Because it gives the men such pleasure to crack the code, to figure it out. They are built to memorize and figure out the sequences of things that have to happen. Now, here's the good news. We don't have to know anything. We don't actually have to understand our complicatedness. Like, you don't have to keep track of what works and what doesn't. You just have to let him know what feels good. Okay? And he is going to memorize and archive all these yeses and all these, oh, that feels good. Okay, I'm going to remember that next time. And you know what? I also remember that when she says that feels good, then I should do this. And then that makes that feel good. But when she's nursing, I need to do this instead. And when she's pregnant, I need to do that instead. But it doesn't matter, because the sequence of events always comes back to, you know, and it looks like one of those back blackboards of, you know, scientists, but that's their brain. And the biggest pleasure is for them to figure it out and be like, yes, I did it again. I figured it out. I used all of my detective work and all of my, you know, whatever formulas, and we did it. Okay. And it's his job, not yours. Your only job is to communicate what feels good. And here's the problem. We are really good at letting him know what doesn't feel good. No, not there. Uncomfortable. No, not that. That's too dry, too wet, too this, too that. Right? It's like our instincts are to say no. And so we're constantly saying no. And no doesn't give him any information. It just shuts him off. So if he tries something and it's a no, and he tries something else, it's a no, and he tries something else, it's a no. What's happening is that you're turning off all the lights. you're basically closing up all options. And so he's left with nothing. And he's really frustrated because he has a need to pleasure you and you're not letting him. So he's frustrated because he's a failure. He is not able to do his job. And you're frustrated because you don't know why he can't figure it out. I mean, he should know by now, right? He should know. He should read my mind. You should read that book about women, and maybe something there matches up with what I like or don't like, which we already addressed is not going to work because we're all so different and so unique, and all of us like different things. I'm glad you're finding this hysterical. This is real life. You know, sometimes all those like comedy shows and stuff, they're like, I'm just telling you what's happening in your house. And you're like, yes, that's why it's so funny. Right? No, we relate because we're all human. We're all normal. Today, someone told me, she's like, you never cry. You're always perfect. And I was like, no, you don't know me. Right? We're all normal. We're human beings. If I was perfect, I would not be able to help you because I wouldn't relate. I wouldn't be able to feel your pain. I go through my stuff just so I can then know what to do for you. That's how I see it. Anytime I go through a really hard spot, I'm like, I'm going to journal this. I'm going to write down how I feel. I'm going to really squeeze it out because I know one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to be able to use it. I'm going to be able to connect to someone who's there. It helps me, by the way. You could take this hack and use it for yourself. If you see a journey that you're going through as something that can help others, it's going to help you get through it. It's totally a side tangent that you can use. Okay. So how do we communicate properly so that your husband knows what you like? So let's separate. There's before and there's during. Before, we have, you could flirt, you can fantasize, you can send each other text messages, you can get excited, you can, you know, I don't know, whatever. Like you could plan the whole day of just leaving messages and notes and, you know, getting excited. This is going to get you excited. Okay. So this is something that I find very helpful, especially let's say on mikvah night, right? It's exciting to think about it and like plan it and fantasize about it and just like get into it. Okay. So that's the first type of communication. The second is the during. And now I want to tell you before I start, I'm missing a word there, but all of you are going to send me what the word I'm looking for is. Before I start, I'm going to tell you, there is no one way. There is no right way. I'm giving you something that I found and works for me, works for other people, and isn't 100%. Like, it's not all or nothing. You could use it sometimes. You could use it on and off. You could use it halfway. Do what works for you because you are unique, okay? So just take that. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. Try it out. See if it works. Doesn't work for you, chalk it, whatever. The three ways of communicating during is yes. Use the word yes. Force yourself to find ways to say yes instead of no. It's very hard in the beginning. It's really hard because we're just no comes out so easy. First of all, it's way shorter. It's one letter less. Just kidding. It just comes out so naturally. No. Right. And it's like, how can I say yes? What can I say yes to? What actually feels good? What actually feels okay? What am I okay with? Interested? What want more of? The other thing is nonverbal communication. Now, you can always use words, obviously, and that's okay. But we want to focus on the things we like. And so you're not always saying yes, no. You're saying yes to the things you like, okay? And with nonverbal communication, you are going to communicate nonverbally the things you like. That feels good, right? That be able to mumble or sound the way you feel. This helps you in many ways. First of all, communicating with words is a different part of the brain than communicating with sounds. So you're allowing yourself to get into that part of the brain that's actually going to be able to feel more into your body. So you're already in a better place. And second of all, it gives so much good information to your husband who's collecting information. He is taking notes. He is mentally memorizing and archiving all this information. And of course, it might take a couple of times to figure out the sequences and to figure out the formulas, but that's okay. You just focus on communicating what feels good. And the third thing that I want you to know is using your breath. What we did before in the beginning of this class, we went into a meditation and I said, release. What happens when you release is you tell your body it's safe. You tell your body this feels good. You allow your body to go deeper into it, right? When we're doing yoga, I don't know if you guys do yoga, but if you ever do, in the release, let's say you're in a twist, in the release, you will go deeper into the twist because your body will just sort of allow itself to fall into it, to like ease more deeply into it. And so with your breath, and if you want, make it even with a little bit of sound, low pitch sound, right? It relaxes all your nerves. It tells your body, yes, we're safe. Your brain is nice and comfy. And it allows you to feel into your body. And again, the focus here is on what feels good. If at any moment you're switching over to what feels bad or what you're not interested in, then bring yourself back. Now, what do you do when it doesn't feel good or when you're not interested in this? Be quiet. Don't say anything. Right? Just a second ago, she was going, and then suddenly she's quiet. I'm leaving this place. I'm going back there. Right? So instead of communicating no, you're going to not communicate anything. And that is communication enough. Believe me, I am. I'm so impressed, right? I'm so impressed with the way that their brain works because we would never be able to memorize all those things and figure these things out. And we don't have to, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm so complicated. I have to start figuring out what to do for myself, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's not your job. Your job is to communicate what you like, right? My husband makes me breakfast every single morning. And I don't think that I ever told him straight out, make me breakfast. But I said, when he made me breakfast the first time, I love it. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, wow. You totally like shortcut my entire like morning routine. This is amazing. I could do my thing now. And, you know, he was noticing that I wasn't really doing breakfast for myself as much. So he was like, no, I'll make sure you eat because I need to, you know, keep you healthy. So he feels like a giver. And I am like in the sky. I'm like, what could be better than this? I get breakfast every day, right? It's amazing. And there are days where he doesn't get to it. And like, you know, you feel it. It's like, wow. But he picks up on the things I like. And if I'm communicating them well enough, you know, no emotion, just real communication. It works every time. Okay. So focus on the good. We would not be talking about intimacy without this very, very important boundaries. Boundaries are what happens when you are aware and make others aware of what's okay, what's not okay, where you start and where they end. Okay. There was once a post on Facebook, and it was, you know, the sales group. I'm not part of it. I heard about it. And this guy wrote, "No means try again." And the men were all like, "Yes, that's true. Oh, no's is just an excuse. They really want what you're selling." And the women were like, "That's disgusting. How could you say that? No means no. Don't you know?" Right? And it became a whole thing back and forth. It was one of the biggest, you know, posts that went completely exploded with comments, because does no mean no? Does no mean try again? Does no mean maybe? Does no mean yes? What does no mean? And this made it very clear that sometimes we say no, but we mean yes. You know, when we're flirting, we're like, no, well, yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay. When we say no and we mean like, ask me in a couple minutes. When we say no and we mean no. So we're very confusing, because guys are basically programmed to, I guess, have different meanings for the same word. Okay, so your job is to get really clear with yourself. Remember the calm method. We're going to keep going back, because the calm method is foundational. Connect to yourself. Step one, connect to yourself. What do I want? What is really important to me? Where are my boundaries? Where's my no? And I'm going to put down that no. And here's the kicker. We're actually going to hold to that no. We're going to keep the promise to ourselves. Right? The worst thing is if you put a red line and then they step over it. And then so you're like, oh, all right, so I'll put the red line here. And then they step over that and they're like, oh, I guess I'll move a couple of feet back and put the red line again. I mean, what was the point? Right? So we're going to put the red line when it's touched, stepped on, moved around, whatever. You're like, no, I really meant it. You're always allowed to change your mind and be honest about it. But I want you to be honest with yourself and to keep your own promises to yourself. If the no was someone else's, boy, would you be upset. Boy, would you stand up for that no, because it's someone else's. But if it's yours, I can just, like, you know, skim a little here and just like move over there, and I could squish over, right? Like, why? And this is important, okay? Because when your boundaries are clear and you know to say no, then your husband's going to know what you want. The communication is just going to be better. It's not that you're taking away something, it's that you're communicating. Right now it's a no. Tomorrow it might be a yes. You know, right now. And also be careful saying no. When you're saying no just all the time, then it just gets very fuzzy. So you could say, maybe, I'm not sure, let me think about it. But when it's a no, then it's a no. Okay. So boundaries are really, really important. We can't be all talking about intimacy and have fun and da 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 and just go with the flow without first knowing, like, what do you want? Okay. Now, play, discover, practice. But the good news is that he's not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We're in this for a while, right? So we don't have the pressure of having to do it right, or having to do something like, you know, it has to be right, you know, once and that's it, or right now and then, you know, I don't know, whatever. Like, we don't have that. We're married. We're going to be doing this many times for a long time. You know, I bless you that you should have, you know, long life. So there is no pressure. We're not holding on to a result. We're letting go of the result. It's not about the result. It's about the play. It's about the discovery. It's about the practice. It's about just being in the moment. It's about enjoying. Okay. And when we let go of the results, there's no more pressure. And especially here, this is not the place where you need pressure. Pressure is going to take all the fun out of it, right? This is where you want to be fully present. And by making it not about the destination, you are allowing it to be about the play, about what it is. It just is, right? So again, about the fireworks. When we say, I want to go back to the good old days, what you're saying is, I want to live in the past. Now, I have news for you. We're only moving in one direction. So if we're going back to the car analogy, you're driving and what you're doing is looking at the rearview mirror the whole time going, I want to be there. What happens? You're going to crash, right? You're not actually looking at where you're going. You're not getting anywhere. That's not how we live life. We live life looking forward, driving forward, and getting places. This is what we talk about, create your reality. When you let go of wanting to be in a past reality, and possibly even realizing that that's not actually where you want to go, right? You don't want to let go of all the depth that you've created and all the experiences that you had just because you want to be all shallow and like in, you know, fluffy land. And I'm telling you, when you keep going and moving forward, you will get to something much better. So let go of the need to be in the past and continue forward. When does one use the rearview mirror? When they're making maneuvers, when there's things that they need to decide on. So they're going to look, they're going to glance. That's what we do also in coaching, okay? We look at the back, we address the back. We definitely don't ignore what has happened in the past, but we don't dwell on it because our goal is to get to the result. And we set a very clear result and we go there. And then we use the rearview mirror as help, as information, as healing, right? And we keep moving. Okay. I'll address both of your questions. Okay, very good. Let's address your question now. Okay, so the resistance. You wanted to talk about the resistance, and then you also had a question about the breathing. So with the breathing, let me answer that one first because you asked it first. It's about the release. Notice that when you breathe in, maybe you breathe in for like 8 seconds, I don't know, max. Like you're like 1, 2, 3, right? And you breathe out, you could probably breathe out 30. Right? Like when I was I did hypnobirthing for my home birth, and she was shocked that I could breathe so long. Like I just like, and it's probably because I swim, right? So I'm able to breathe out. The release, the breathing out, the letting go is equivalent to all the letting go of the pressure, the results, the expectations, the disappointments, the resentment, the everything, all of that stuff. It's just allowing it to melt away. And it's going to serve you in a wonderful way. Learning to let go is beautiful. You know, we were in Manhattan right before Corona, 3 years ago. We were also this year, but the first time we went, like recently, it was 2020, February. So we got back 4 days before the lockdown. Thank God. So anyway, we're in America. We took the kids to the museum, and coming home, we were taking the train, and it was very narrow, and we had a lot of kids with us, and we were a bunch of adults, you know, my husband and his brother, whatever. And we were watching all the kids and the cousins also. And this train comes and it's the wrong number. It's not the one that's going to take us home. We're on the right platform, but it's not the right train. So we told everyone, don't get on, don't get on. And we were like holding all the kids back. Don't get on, don't get on. People came in, they went out, whatever. The train comes, opens the door, closes the door, moves on. And then we wait a couple I don't know, a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and the next train comes and it's the right one. And we get on it and we all find seats and everybody's sitting. And then I say to them, did you see what just happened? And they're like, what? What happened? I was like, the train came. It was the wrong train. It was going to take us in the wrong direction. And we didn't get on it. It opened its doors. It closed its doors, but we did not get on. And then when the right train came, we got on and everything was fine. We're going in the right direction. Isn't that amazing? And my kids already, they know. Like, okay, what does this mean? Right? You have this in life all the time. Somebody's going to come and they're going to say something. Your husband usually is going to start a conversation that's going to start a fight, or he's going to say something. He's waiting for you to get in to go in that direction. And you're like, oh boy, I know this train. It is not taking me the direction I want. So you're just like, wait. And the train opens its doors and it closes its doors and it moves on. And then the next train comes and it's like, yeah, that's where I want to go. Okay, I'll get on this one. It's a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to get on every train that comes. You get to take responsibility for which trains you get on and which direction you're going. And that's amazing about life. Now, let's talk about this. How do you become more attractive, more beautiful, and more confident? Did you see the ABC there? Attractive, beautiful, confident. I liked it. Anyway, how do you become more attractive, beautiful, and confident? And the answer is by being grateful. Say thank you. Verbalize. Appreciate. Thank you. Rivka Malka, I once heard her speak in person here in Jerusalem. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience. I don't know if you guys know Rivka Malka Perlman. She's really great. And she said, regular people, they apologize for everything. I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm so sorry this. I'm so sorry that. And a queen walks in and says, thank you for being patient. Thank you for being, you know, thank you for waiting for me. I mean, she was also late, just as late as the other person, right? But it's a different place. It creates a different energy around you. And that's what I want to leave you off with. Become more grateful. Say more thank you. I mean, if you do feel really good, then can you thank your husband for doing that? Because he reverse engineered all of your crazy complications. He did all that in his head. He wants to make you happy. Thank you for wanting to make me happy. Thank you for trying so hard. Thank you for caring enough about it. Thank you for being my husband. Thank you for being alive. Thank you for taking care of yourself. Thank you for taking care of me. I don't know. Come up with something. Give him some credit. It will make you more attractive. It will make you more beautiful. And it will make you more confident. Oh, there's a paradox you mentioned. On one hand, we're letting go of the results. And on the other hand, we're focusing on the results. Isn't that beautiful? This is what life is about, right? It's like, I want to, you know, whatever, make six figures. But if I make it about making six figures, I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to actually not do it in the right way. So I have a goal. So I have my, you know, intention. That's where I'm going. This is my direction. But in reality, it's not about the result. It's about who I'm becoming on the way to being that, right? And that's how I'm going to get there and then be a healthy, whole person who's able to go to the next result. But if you ever tried having a result and going after that result and obsessing over the result, you probably burnt out completely crashed, and at the end couldn't keep going because there was just no way. It was all about the result. And when you got to the result, it wasn't even worth it. It's like, this is what it's about. This is what it is. This is why I work so hard, right? So there is this dichotomy happening, right? Where it's like, on one hand, I know where I'm going. On the other hand, it's not about where I'm going. It's about who I become on the way there. And we talk about this also in joining the program. When you join Flow, we set goals. We talk about, where do you want to be? What do you want to become? How do you want this to look? And we get really clear about what it's going to be like and how I'm going to feel so that I know where I'm going. It's like plugging in the GPS, right? Waze, put in the address. Now we know where you're going. So now, instead of living your life going in circles, trying to figure it out, staying within comfort zone, you're going to start taking steps towards that direction. But it's not going to be about the direction, the result. It's going to be about you becoming who you need to be in order to get there. Okay, I hope that was clear to you. Thank you for that. That was a great question. Okay, guys. I love you so much. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm reminding you that we're on day 5 of a 7-day retreat. Tomorrow is day 6. Design the atmosphere of your home. It's a great session. It's a training that I give everyone. I love it. And everyone who takes it is like, ah, that was amazing. So please, please, please make sure to come back tomorrow. Same time, same place. We're going to be using the workbook again. So if you want, you can print it out. If you haven't already, if you want just to print out day 6, if you're, you know, still behind catching up, that's okay. I look forward to seeing you. Another thing I wanted to say, is if you want to join working with me, join any of my programs, make sure you write me an email. You probably got an email from me reminding you about this. So you just reply, or send me an email to advice@connectedforreal.com and we'll take it from there. Okay. So that's how we do it. I'm so excited. Thank you for coming. I love you all. And I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Call too. Okay, bye.
It's me again, Rebecca Batren Grossman, and I wanted to make sure that you loved it. If you want to go deeper and actually come live to the sessions of the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, please visit connectedforreal.com/retreat. As part of the retreat, you get to meet one-on-one with me on an implementation call, and you have access to that link when you sign up. Make sure you download the workbook. You have also access to the WhatsApp group and a bunch of other bonuses. So go and enjoy. connectedforreal.com/retreat.